Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you this week, really just about as live as I can get to you because I'm making this tape on Thursday. We have to send it then to the radio audience, and we send 1 week. So 1 week from today, you're hearing me on a Thursday. But I'm teaching now, and I will be this week and next week, and we will be talking about some current events again next week. We're talking about the authority of the believer that we absolutely must come into and must exercise. I've drawn some reference to what happened in Virginia at VaTech with the crazed shooter of 32 people, and how I believe that he was demon-possessed, and that Christians can and must stand up with the authority that God gave us and stop such situations happening in our own realms of authority. The Believer's Authority by Brother Kenneth E. Hagin is on this same subject. And in his book, he suggests that you read the first chapters of Ephesians over and over again, even before you read his book. In his first paragraph, he says, read the first three chapters over and over again for several days of the book of Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians is filled with purpose for the church. There are three groups of peoples that the Bible talks about: the Jews, the nations, and the church. You are to study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Part of the Bible is, all of the Bible's for the church, but not all the Bible is about the church. The part of the Bible that is to, for, and about the church are the epistles, the letters written to the church. And in the book of Ephesians, it tells us who we are positionally, what we have, and what we can do. When people don't rightly divide the word of God, they can take scriptures that have to do with others that don't have the position that you have. You must do this, and the Church of the Living God must do it in these last days. I read to you from the book that I'm going to be reading to you this week and next from a book written in the 50s, The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan, missionary to the Chinese and missionary to the Philippines. Brother Hagin referred to this book in the foreword of his book, The Believer's Authority. And in John A. McMillan's book, he starts out with the preface, "The rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness." And then he says, "To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see the ministry in the heavenlies to which they have been called. Such believers, whether as intercessors, workers at home, missionaries on the foreign field, may in union with the great head of the body exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged. Bless the Lord." Now, this ministry in the heavenlies, what if you're a preacher and somebody says, "How's your ministry going?" You probably say, "Oh, well, we have a new church. We have increased our attendance twice." But the ministry in the heavenlies is a ministry that belongs to every born-again child of God. And how we exercise that ministry in the heavenlies is how our homes are going to go, how our nation is going to go, our cities, whether or not we have some kind of a catastrophe down at the local high school. It's going to depend upon this higher ministry that has everything to do with how our earthly ministry goes along. And though this higher ministry comes to you, this authority of the believer comes to you when you come in contact with Calvary, you must have spiritual enlightenment to know how to operate in this ministry. You have to have an enlightenment come to you from the Lord. Now, Brother Hagin, I don't know how many times I've heard him say, Kenneth E. Hagin, there are two prayers in Ephesians that are Holy Ghost anointed prayers, which God gave, and you can pray for yourself. You personalize them. You put your name in there. They'll work for you just the same as they did for the saints that Paul wrote to at Ephesus. In fact, Paul wrote to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the believers in Christ Jesus anywhere. Verse 1. Now, Brother Hagin, before you read his book, he suggests that you read the first three chapters of Ephesians over and over and over again. And the two prayers are in there. We're going to look at that first prayer right now. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He had heard of their faith and he had heard of their love. And so he prayed this prayer for them. Now let's look at what that prayer is about. Ephesians 1:17. I pray this prayer every day and make it personal. I pray it for my president. I pray it for my pastor and spiritual leaders. I pray it for me. And here's how I would do it, for instance, praying it for me. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, Father of glory. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance, his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world and age, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and you hath he quickened. Chapter 2, verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's the prayer that you can pray for yourself. I pray it for myself every single day. Now this prayer is to God the Father. That's who we pray in the new covenant, to God. We pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, and we ask him for something. What are we asking him for in this prayer? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is a prayer. Paul saw their faith and their love, and he said, I'm going to pray, since I see this, that God will give you spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning some things. You know, I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about how powerful this prayer is, and I'm thinking out loud to you right now. Paul had to see their faith and their love before he prayed this prayer for them. This might not work for you if you're not walking in faith and love. But if it is your determination to walk in faith and love, you can pray this prayer that God would give you some revelation. Now, it's going to be revelation, especially down at the end of the prayer, on your position in Christ, in your authority of the believer, far above Satan and his authority. So he says, I'm praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You're not going to get this through your intellect. If you did, then the most powerful Christians would be the smartest Christians. But this comes by that God who loves to make the foolish confound the wise. This comes by revelation to you. If you pray this prayer over and over, if you pray this prayer every day for yourself, you will find yourself walking in revelation in, I don't know, a month or so that you never had before. And then if you keep it up and walk in faith and love, you'll be walking in more and more revelation concerning God's power. The revelation that he wants us to have is about three things. Number one, and I'm not going to camp on this one, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Number two, that you may know what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints. And this is God's inheritance in the saints. This is not what you inherit. This is what God inherits. We inherit God. God inherits us. And in the saints in this earth, God has a great inheritance. But what we're going to talk about right now and what the book, The Authority of the Believer, that I want you to get talks about is, number three, Paul prays for them that they will get a spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning, verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe. He's wanting us to get a revelation of God's power. And the power he wants us to get a revelation of is toward usward who believe. It's for us. This is a great power that's for us, we believing ones. Now, what kind of a power is this? He wants us to get the revelation of a power to usward who believe, which is according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What kind of power is that? Resurrection power. He wants the saint, you and me, child, adult, to get a revelation of the resurrection power of God, and it took the strongest power that is manifested and spoken to us about in the Bible. Is not the power of creation. The strongest power that's talked about to us in the Bible is the power it took God to raise Jesus from the dead. And when he raised him from the dead, not only just raise him back to walk the streets of Jerusalem, but he lifted him right past up out of the earth and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Christ was raised up and from the dead by the glory, by the Spirit of God, and raised up and seated at God's own right hand, the center of power of the universe. And it tells us that when he raised him, he was raised above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, all demon power, and made him to be head over it. We're going to start right here tomorrow. But now I want you to take a little time, if you will, and order this book, The Authority of the Believer. It's simple. It's only $8. You can call 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can go online at BillyBrim, BillyBrim.org. Or the old-fashioned way, write Post Office Box 4040 in Branson, Missouri, 65615. We invite you to watch our webcast. Turn on there today at BillyBrim.org and see how we caught you up on the news in the light of Bible prophecy. Please send for your book today, and if you can, enclose an offering to help us remain on the radio broadcast, reaching across America, and especially into your area. Mention the call letters of the station that you watch. When you call, when you write, mention your call letters. And in the meantime, until we meet again tomorrow, this is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.